everyone, and welcome back to the Most Dangerous Podcast.
Today, we will be reviewing They Put a Moonlander on Earth, as well as going over Let's Get Dangerous, the episode coming. Today is second, then we got the Trigonine, Forbidden Fountain, then Let's Get Dangerous. So we got three more episodes. But there was like a promo with Halloween episodes plus Let's Get Dangerous scenes, or what we think to be that episode. So
yeah,
we will put that promo in the description. So yeah, you've probably already seen it, but in case you haven't, it's in there, or you can rewatch it so you know what parts we're talking about. Anyway, we're gonna do the review for Moonlander first. So yeah, not much else to say, so let's jump into it. The episode starts out with Webby doing her vent crawl, which she hasn't vent crawled in a while, actually.
Yeah, the last one. I don't know. I can't remember.
All I can think of right now is
Louis 11.
Oh, yeah. That was a vent crawl. Not in the mansion, though. That was like an elevator crawl.
Yeah.
She's like barely in that episode, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so we got one scene solved for in the promo was her vent crawl, plus her saying, but that's crazy, or what that's crazy, or whatever she said. So we got two scenes down. Well, two more scenes down for that. So we can start narrowing down what scenes are left that we haven't seen so we can piece together more episodes. Anyway, moving on, she does vent crawls. She's looking for the triplets and basically the rest of the family, like, where is everyone? Where was Huey in this episode?
I don't know. Same place Scrooge was. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, where was Scrooge and Donald and Huey? Anyway, love how she just crawls out of random places. Again, me laughing at random parts is when she comes out of the fridge, you know? You're like, oh, whatever, they meant it to be funny. But then you're like, is there like a tunnel in the fridge or something? Or a compartment in the fridge?
Yeah.
And so then she goes into Scrooge's study, and then she looks out the window and sees Penny. But every time I think of someone, picture anyone looking out of Scrooge's study window or any window in general, I just picture the one with Storkules. Storkules and Duckburg with the harpies when Scrooge is talking to Louie about, like, looking for a problem and finding a solution, and he's talking about Donald, mm-hmm. how he came up with this solution to rent to tenants and whatever, and he's like, see, he's helping people. And is he stealing my chandelier? Hey!
Just the way he yells and the way Donald doesn't, like, go to put it back, he just keeps, like, walking.
Hey! And then later you see it in the house, uh-huh. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, like, strapping it in.
We'll go with that. But, yeah. So, Donald, I love how all Donald hears is just Scrooge like, hey.
And then Scrooge moves
on, you know, like, whatever, and getting that back.
Like, oh, well.
Yeah, and so then Penny goes down to see, what am I saying? Webby goes, almost said Penny goes to see Della. I'm like, I'm making up my own episode now. Webby goes down to see Penny, and I love how Penny refers to her as Small Della, yeah. I mean, Webby and Dewey are Small Della's, and then Penny calls Dewey Blue Della, which reminds me of Depp's The Cousin Feathery with the little Donalds.
Mm-hmm. Small Della.
And then how Dewey called Huey Little Feathery. So cute. And so then she goes up to Penny and then scares her. Not on purpose. And then I love Penny. It's like, you shouldn't sneak up on a moon warrior. Mm-hmm. And then she looks over at Webby, and Webby's doing her stare of joy.
Like joy.
But it's creepy.
It's not a death stare. It's a joy stare.
Yeah, which she does from time to time. The most, not common, the most, the biggest, longest stare she's ever done. There we go. That's not the right words for it, but the biggest stare she's done was with Scrooge in Confidential Case Files of Agent 22.
Yeah.
When she's getting Scrooge his breakfast and stuff.
I love that episode.
I love later in the episode. Well, I know your favorite drink. And he's like, nutmeg tea. And Webby's like, juice. Ah.
It's a good episode.
But you drink a whole pot of it. Well, that was just an act.
I was just too impressed.
And so then Penny, what does Penny say? Like, can I help you or what?
Yeah.
Like, and then, or yeah. Do you need something? Then Webby, no, I definitely wouldn't want to hang out with you and swap battle techniques with a super cool alien war hero living in our backyard. And that solves the alien problem. Like, where did the Moonlanders go after Moonvasion? Mm-hmm. I guess Penny was in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, I mean, the rest of the Moonlanders, you see them later. They've just been hanging around town. Doing fun stuff. With little bunnies. Which will make sense later in the review. So Penny's trying to build a ship to get home. And I didn't get a good look at the ship because it's, like, all up close. But it looked almost like it was Lunaris. Like, rebuilding a ship like Lunaris. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would you build Lunaris' ship? Again, because all of those were all failed attempts. So maybe it's just a huge spear, and since it's a close-up view, you can't really tell. But anyway.
Be a big spear.
Not a big thing, but. let's see, where was I? Okay, and so then Penny's like, I need to get home to my vastly superior planet Moon. And so then Webby's like, okay. And so then I love how she just goes and jumps in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I half expected her to climb up the wall of the mansion, like the side of the mansion. Like in
Day Trip of Doom.
But the Day of the Only Child. Day Trip of Doom. Those are the two episodes. I don't get them mixed up, but I get their names mixed up. Because they're so similar, funny. You know? Day Trip of Doom, Day of the Only Child. Yeah. Those are my two most mixed episode names. So then she sadly walks inside, but here's the TV, and it goes into the TV room to see Louie and Dewey. And so I love how she's like, what's the plan for the day? You know, like, yeah. We going somewhere, we going to another country, you know?
Going to a whole nother world itself? Like, what are we doing?
The Ottoman Empire. And then I love how Webby's like, haven't you seen this episode before? And then Louie, I like knowing how it ends. It's comforting. Like, that is total Louie.
I love how the TV's just like, life without Randy. It just shows him crying.
Whole story. Poor guy. And then, so Webby's like, we could go out and catch caterpillars, and in their cocoons, they literally melt into butterflies.
Nature fun!
Nature fun! And then,
we're going to say the same thing.
Basically. And so then the TVs, and the show's interrupted by a message from Glomgold. And I was like, hi, I'm TV's Glomgold.
Great sister.
Good accent. I didn't even try an accent because I knew I'd be like, end up doing British, you know? And so then I love when he says Earth's Greatest Hero, how the set in the back catches fire.
I know, and then it switches, and you just see the burn mark.
Totally.
I know what you're thinking. What handsome lion heart couldn't possibly give the people any more? Well, think again.
The same guy who brought the Glom coaster now brings you the Flint Ferris Glom Whale. And then I love how Webby's like, on one hand, Glomgold. On the other hand, giant Ferris wheel? Like, what do you think, Dewey? And then Dewey's rundown.
Dewey? I remember when the Glom coaster opened. I waited all morning, but I let a kid, Timmy Jenkins, go ahead of me. The track broke and he was stuck for hours. It was national news on every channel. And as I watched him tell his horrifying story on a dozen different talk shows, I thought, that should have been me up there!
So, oh my gosh, that story. At the beginning, I was like, what, did Timmy Jenkins die? But then halfway through, I was like, oh, Dewey's jealous of Timmy Jenkins.
What? I know, it's so sweet of him, though. Just, he's like, but I let a kid go ahead of me in line. You're like, oh.
You know, he was probably trying to get the news, you know?
By being the nicest kid.
Kid go ahead of him, you know?
Oh, I love how as he's telling the story, he just pulls a newspaper a newspaper clip out of his shirt.
Like, that's like, what he keeps with
you've been
with
saving
like,
it.
Timmy Jenkins, I will have my revenge on you. You know?
Well, not today, Timmy Jenkins. Today is Dewey's Disaster Day.
Dewey's Disaster Day. Oh, my gosh.
What could go wrong?
Hopefully everything.
Cue the theme song.
Dun, 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 dun. No, I'm not going to sing the whole thing.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duke.
I don't know. Now you're doing an accent.
Switch to an accent.
Interesting. Ah, that was like a mix of the two theme songs, in reboot Duke and original. Ah. Okay, I find it ironic that Timmy Jenkins is voiced by Ben Schwartz.
I know.
So it's the first like time we watched Dewey's episode, arrival with catch himself. It cracks me up. It sounds, because Timmy Jenkins only says one line, like, better look next time, Dewey. You know, so, but if you go, if you listen to it, it's like, oh,
expecting
yeah.
Ben Schwartz, you're like, oh yeah, that's totally
that's
him.
That's Dewey. So it's funny. He's literally like arrival with himself. Ah, and so then back to the review. Della goes into the garage and sees Penny building her ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how Della's like, it's just like old times, except it's you building rocket in my backyard.
And then Della just starts helping her build.
Yeah, like, can I help? And then I love how Penny like lets her help, you know, mm-hmm. not just like,
I can do it on my own. So
I don't need help. So then Della tries to convince Penny like, you know, you can stay on Earth, you know? Like, I don't remember exactly what she mentions. Like, maybe if, like, the other moonlanders liked it or something.
Yeah. And Penny's just like, I went out for Earth coffee.
Coffee. I love how they're, like, still getting used to the new terms and slangs and stuff. So the way they say stuff. Party.
And then Della's just, like, out, like, on a date with who?
And then
flashback
to the date, and I love how Darkwing Launchpad's like, so you get Darkwing on the moon? Like,
I know.
That's the first question he asks.
Just sitting there.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. And then Penny, this is terrible. Gets up and leaves. And then it goes back, flash forward, and then Della's just like, Launchpad? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I love when Della first met Launchpad, though, because she's like, what? They're trying to replace me, you know? And just like, well, I'm not having this. She's like, Uncle Scrooge!
She's just like going through all the pictures and stuff. She's like, wait, who's this?
Wait a second, who was this? So yeah, cracks me up. Launchpad, nice to meet you. And then Della, she's running away, nice to meet you, too! Cracks me up. And so then Penny's like, no, I'm going back to the moon. And then Della's like, oh, talking like maybe you're scared of trying new things. And then I love how Penny's like, I'm not scared of anything. And then like, oh, I get it, you're joking.
And Della's like, oh yeah.
Yep. I love the way she says it though,
like, yeah.
And then Dewey, Mom, can I go ride the Death Wheel at the pier so I can be famous?
Sounds awesome.
It's like, ah, Della, still getting the hang of it.
She's like, why don't you take Penny with you to have her experience some Earth fun?
Yeah, and then Penny's like, sorry, I can't. I got
But Webby's just like, take a alien out for Earth fun?
Like, yeah! But Penny's got a very important meeting with the Moonlanders to discuss their imminent departure. So, they go to, back to, what is it, the coffee shop again?
The coffee shop.
Coffee. What's it called?
I don't know.
Morning Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
Morning Joe's. Or something else. But then they're like, we want to stay, you know, we love Earth, which is to be expected. And I love
their dog with the slap
with
bracelets.
The slap bracelets. Like, ah, oh, they did as they said they would. We'll dress our dog in slap bracelets. My favorite scene with Lunaris was him about to slap a slap bracelet on his wrist on the moon. I don't even remember. I feel like it was like the golden spear or something.
Something like that.
But he's just like, oh, it's gonna hurt. Which
it actually does sometimes.
Yeah.
Like when you get the rubber ones.
I used to have slap bracelets and it's like you slap them on your head. Ah!
The rubber ones hurt. You can get them from Disneyland. They hurt.
Okay. And I love how, I believe it was Gibbous that said it, was like, we're having a barrel of monkeys. Like, that's slang for fun.
Yep.
And then he's like, I got a new job with the hero of Earth, which is Flintheart Glomgo.
He single-handedly saved the planet from Lunars and his terrible moon scum. We're the
moon scum. And I saved us, you know? Like, poor Penny. That, I have to say, was, like, a very good scene that they did with Penny saving them, you know? Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest, I forgot about Penny.
I did, too.
At the end, till she came in, I was like, oh, yeah! Penny! And then, like, the way she did it in the scenes and stuff, I was like, that was good. So.
And then just the way she smacks onto the spear.
Yeah. Penny! This is my family! And then.
Let me in!
Let me in! So, yeah. We are the moon scum! And so then they're like, Glomgold would never lie. I'm like,
yeah, thank
you, Moonlanders, poor things. Don't know Glomgold that well. So then Penny's like, fine then, the rest of us loyal Moonlanders are gonna go home. And then they're like, the rest of the Moonlanders is like it on Earth too. Which, what did you think, Penny? Like, they all wanted to come to Earth. I guess she didn't believe they would. And so then they were like, we had a party at Palace's.
With yo-yos.
And yo-yos. And
festive springs. Which are slinkies.
Yeah, and Penny, why did no one tell me of this party?
But the way she says it.
Palace is another, by the way, another Moonlander that came to Earth. She was in a... like, gold... she was in, like, probably all the Moonlander episodes.
Yeah.
On the moon. Death to the moon! Anyway, so then... they're like, you hate Earth fun, so we didn't tell you about the party. Like, sorry about that. Like, you prefer to moon fight and destroy enemies and stuff. So then.
And then she breaks the festive spring.
The festive spring, the slinky. And then I love how Gibbous is like, oh, look at the time. Like, that's Earth people talk for. I gotta go, or
for like,
we want to go
for
now.
When like they want to leave or something, yeah. Like that. It was something rude.
Burn. And so then Zenith, you know, talks to Penny like, you need to we want you to experience the wonders of Earth with us, but we understand if you're afraid. I don't want to, because I love how when she's like afraid, how Penny just like about to boil over, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Penny. And so then Gibbous and Zenith leave, and then it goes back to the mansion. Webby and Dewey are about to leave to go to the opening of the Ferris wheel. And I feel like Dewey says another thing about Timmy Jenkins or something.
He says, I'm going to be local news famous.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yeah.
And Webby. So then as they're walking out the door, Penny Bustin. I love it.
Conquer Earth fun.
Anytime anyone screams in DuckTales, I don't know why it cracks me up. So when Dewey screams and stuff when she comes in, and she's like, I must conquer Earth fun. So then they're like, okay, let's go. And so then we go to Glomgold Industries, his little building. That is Scott, and Gibbous is dressed as Glomgold.
Like a Glomgold, definitely Glomgold employee.
Yep, he cracked me up.
This and then Glomgold, why, who is that handsome man?
Why, it's you, sir. And I love how he just points to the picture of Glomgold on
the
desk.
He's in the same position.
Like, oh, Gibbous, you're so funny. So sweet.
And the model Ferris wheel on Glomgold's desk.
I know.
It's like taped together.
Like, usually models of building projects are very, very well put together. But mm-hmm. if you see a model made out of that with, like, the macaroni like, noodles and like stuff,
you're just straws like, and glue and macaroni.
Wonder what the real thing looks like.
Not much better.
Not much better at all. And then I love how Willem Gould, like, talks back about Allison and stuff. Like, I'm really interested to see where she goes. Dangerous. Yeah. You know? Like, what happens. I don't think she's not gonna grow to be a villain. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think she's gonna grow to be a villain, but she'll be, like, she'll have a business or something in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe. Unless she's a business villain. I don't you never Fowl's know.
Business person.
Whoa. Okay. We'll see. So then, let's see what happens next. Glomgul calls, what's his name, Martian. And he's like,
I'm technically from the moon.
Mars is nice too. So then, Glomgul's like, I'm gonna give the town what it needs.
This is just like, Glomgul, you're just so giving.
So then, Gibbous's job is to make sure that nothing goes wrong. Which, as of now, it seems like Longwood's like, oh, you're nice. What are you planning? You know,
it's like Louis' quote to Lena. It's like, what are you up to? Why are you being so nice?
I love the way he says that, though. Which one was that? Was Nightmare on Killer Hill? Can I do something nice for my friends? Not everything I say sounds sarcastic and rude.
That's literally how you sound.
That's just my voice. I can't help it. So. Anyway, so then it goes to Launchpad. Dewey, Webby, and Penny are driving to the pier. Or the boardwalk. I believe it's a pier. They called it a pier, right?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Have you ever had a death wheel on a pier?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, so of how they're driving down, and then Dewey's, like, trying to come up with the, like, new look for his hair and stuff, and coming up with facial expressions to make.
Yeah.
Because I like how he basically knows that the death wheel's gonna... He calls it a death wheel. He's like, it's gonna break down and I'm gonna be the one stuck on it, you know? So planning his terrified face.
It's like, I want traumatized, but not too traumatized, so I can't... What was it? Talk to a bunch of reporters?
Talk to, like, reporters. Multiple reporters. Or do more multiple interviews. So I'm like... Yeah. Ah, Dewey, you are my favorite triplet. So then, Earthbun lesson one. This is Webby talking. One of the best ways to ride in a limo is with your hair blowing in the wind. And that actually, for some, it reminded me of Tangled the series. You know, the main song, Wind in My Hair. And it's funny because Penny's voiced by Julie Bowen or whatever, she voices the queen in Tangled series, and so I'm like, that's funny. They like put a wind in my hair thing.
And like, so then, Disney.
Yeah, I love Penny's like, without my helmet or my head exposed, I'm vulnerable to attack. And so then I love how Webby's like, you do this, woo, and then.
Just, don't even think of attacking
my exposed head.
As we ride in a limo! Without my helmet, I'm completely vulnerable to attack up here. Why is this fun? You're letting your hair blow in the wind! Try shouting like this! Woo! Don't even think.
It's just like.
Don't even think of attacking my exposed head.
And I love how they made it to where, like, she swallowed a fly, you know? Like.
Oh my gosh. That's the how realistic.
Most realistic thing that could have happened to Penny. Sticking her head out a window. So, and then Dewey's still going over his new looks for the news. Traumatized, not traumatized. Then Launchpad.
And the way he's like curling his finger in his hair.
Yeah. It's like, let's fix this single random strand right there. I love how when Launchpad's driving, though he's not looking where he's driving, he's like turned around looking at Penny, like, Dewey, can I ask you a question or whatever?
Best friend question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Dewey's doing his hair, and then Launchpad's looking, and then Dewey's like, oh, look out, you know? And they hear like a car honk or something. And so then Launchpad's like, can I ask you a best friend question? And then I love how Dewey, he doesn't roll his eyes, but his eyes go in a complete circle as he's like, thinking. He's kind of like, sure. Like, what can I help you with? And then, so then Launchpad explains his coffee date with Penny and stuff and like, wondering like, how he should act.
I don't think we should ever date, but I'm just wondering how I should act around her.
Should I ignore her?
Is that mean? Like, am I supposed to be mean? And am I oh my gosh, I can't talk. Am I your arch enemy now?
And then Dewey like, I don't know. I mean, she's pretty hard to read. And then she's spitting out a fly. I mean, it's funny she didn't just like the fly go down her throat and she swallows it. She manages to get it back up. And then like the pigeon flying in her face, like,
oh my goodness.
I've had bad experiences with pigeons. One time there was like a dead one in the backyard. Oh, and ever since then, I don't want to get too descriptive. I'm not even going to say how gross it was. But ever since then, I see a pigeon, and I just picture them dead. So that was really gross.
That's dark, bro.
I mean, not like I want them dead, but I picture
dead.
The dead one in the yard. So, like, I want you dead. No.
I like pigeons. They're cool.
I like pigeons, but not that much. And so then I love how she grabs the pigeon off her face and she's holding it like, it's a full attack! But she's like still holding the pigeon, you know?
Yeah.
And I love how she gets out on the top of the card like yelling and then like they have got the one scene, you know, the people just walking by and the limo goes by and she's just yelling and, you know, they're probably like, what the heck? Oh, wait, that's Scrooge's car. Never mind. Like, it's just the McDuck family doing like, some
it's the Duck
stuff.
Family.
And then Launchpad, do you think she's mad that I'm driving her to this thing? Should I drive slower? Should you drive? Like, sure, ask the 11-year-old to drive.
And then Dewey, why don't you just talk to her?
And then Launchpad goes to talk to her.
Right then, no.
Penumbra, should I drive slower or would you rather one of the kids drive? Which is like...
And her face is just like, what? He's like, oh, yeah. I should just leave. I'm sorry.
I love how Penny refers to him as the pilot of the car, you know? We lost the pilot! And then Launchpad, like, should have just kept driving the limo. But I remember when the promo came out, and there was the one scene of them in the limo. Mm-hmm. It looked like in the background, I was like, there's a little brown blur. I'm like, that looks like Launchpad. But I didn't, we didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
Past that, but should have mentioned that. But it looked like Montreal, and it was Launchpad in the background. And so then I love how Dewey tries to unbuckle his seatbelt, but then he's like, this seatbelt will be the death of us all, you know? And it's like, what's up with the DuckTales family and seatbelts? Because in Beware of the Buddy System, I mean, the seatbelts literally trapped them.
Yeah,
you know?
But Dewey slid out of that one easy.
Yeah. But the fact that he was trapped in a seatbelt. Like, wow, seatbelts don't work for them. And that's funny. And so then Penny jumps out in front of the limo to stop it. And I love it. She's like, all right, limo, let's see you best the world. The moon's greatest. Oh my gosh, I'm tongue-tied. Let's see you best the moon's grade, and then gets cut off because she gets whacked.
I know. By the limo. I love how Webby's just like, or you could use the brakes.
Yeah, and so then Webby hits the brakes. So then they manage to stop it right before the car lands in the water, which is, yay, good. But then yay. Penny lands in a pile of fish. And so then I love how no one's doing Webby or like, oh my gosh, went to the car with no driver, whatever. They're just like, yay, Earth fun. Like, yeah, that was great. And then, you know, Dewey just casually gets out of the car. Like, oh, now you're not stuck in a seatbelt. We're just like, oh, nothing happened. We're here. We're fine. Let's go have some fun now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Monkey barrel. So fun. So then it goes back to Glomwheel, introducing his Glomwheel. I don't think he introduced it yet, though. I think it was still...
Yeah.
Or he's just introducing it. Or something. Let me works.
And then Gibbous, he's just like, oh my craters, it's smiling.
It's smiling. Just like, oh my gosh. Like, the way he says it though, like, it's smiling. Like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, you know? I think that'll really blow them away. And I love how the construction workers walk up, like, what should we do with these extra parts? And then Glom was like, put them in a spare
glomdala.
Glomdala instead of gondola. It's a glomdala. That was play on words. Smart.
Wait, oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, and then give us questions the safety of this thing. And then I love how Glom was like, guess you better call the safety inspector and his little... bunny. Now I'm always gonna think they're little happy play bunnies.
Quotation mark quote gesture parentheses. They're not parentheses.
I didn't mean to say parentheses.
Like, quote gesture things.
And then Glomgold gets distracted by someone trying to take down his spikes. No, don't take that down. It's supposed to have spikes. Like that. And then I love how Gibbous calls the safety inspector.
He's like, can I talk to the safety
inspector? Ha 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 ha.
Because Glom was just like, yeah. Call the safety inspector. Ha ha ha
ha. And then Dewey, I gotta get to the Glom wheel. I will not be Timmy Jenkins out of my spot in line and the nation's hearts. And I love how he doesn't just call him Timmy, you know? It's like Timmy Jenkins every time. And then Webby's like, we're here for Penny. Like, you can wait. And so then, I love how while they're talking, you just see Penny pull a fish out of her helmet from when she landed in the pile of fish. And so then Webby's her, Penny's Earth Fun teacher. So they're like, let's try this. And I love how they go up to like those little, oh, what are they? I almost got them statues, but the people who dress up like statues. Yeah. And stuff, which I've seen videos, pretty funny videos before of like people put the money in and it's like instantly the person will start doing something or like start yelling or whatever and it freaks the people out.
Which our cousin got scared freaks one time. Our cousin put the money in the thing. He got so scared. I felt bad, but I'm it was hilarious.
But yeah, you go to Hollywood, they're everywhere.
Yep.
I love how Penny's like, this statue is very poor constructed and like
made of
and
flesh?
I question the choice of making it out of flesh.
At first you're like, wait a second, what?
I love how the guy's just like, why, thank you, and like no time after that Penny just throws him in water. And then I love how Webby's like, right, okay, don't startle. Don't startle the bloodthirsty alien soldier. That's on me. You know? And I know we said this in, oh, which episode was? Oh, the one with Scrooge. 00 Duck when she's at the arcade with Scrooge. Like, how far Webby's come from the first time she was at Funzo's to that. Mm-hmm. But now it's, like, another thing. Like, this episode was a lot of Webby, like, how far she's come from episode one.
Like, instead of the boy showing Webby all this stuff, Webby's showing Penny all this stuff. So...
So it was first with Scrooge, now she's showing Penny everything. And her pep talks are good. And so then they go get a Glom shirt at the Glom Shirt Incorporated. And then they do the little
hammer bolt.
What's that called? Where you like whack your hammer it's and then the it promo. Shoots the bell. I don't know. I've done those before. They're like really fun. But then the bell knocks off the little thing and whacks Penny in the head. They're super strength. Well, not super strength, but alien strength.
Then they go to the Penny Arcade.
I love that. The Penny.
Yeah, the Penny Arcade reminded me of Disneyland because they have the Penny Arcade there.
Yeah, I like how it's like reminds of Disneyland and it's like Penny Arcade. And so then I like how Penny goes to like the arm wrestling thing, like right as Launchpad looks around the corner and she like breaks the thing and he just kind of like turns and walks away like, okay, never mind. And so then they do the little water squirt gun thing where you have to get the water in the mouth and stuff.
Those were fun too.
I like those.
And so then Penny goes up and like rips the head off of it. And then you just see the poor traumatized kids. Because you see the one crying and then Webby's like comforting the it's a dog. And then the other girl, her eyes just twitching. Which is funny because you see the same kids in DuckTales like go around town, you know? Those are always the kids at Funzo's because that one girl, you saw her in 00 Duck and you saw her in Day Trip of Doom. Mm-hmm. And the little boy was on the playset when Mob Eagle was going on it in Day Trip of Doom. So, yeah, that's funny. And so then I like how Launchpad gets popcorn and then goes and turns to give like one to Penny. And he like dumps turns it. And like accidentally dumps it and like switches and just an awkward exchange. In the end, she gets the empty one and then Launchpad just shoves the popcorn in his face and jumps in the water. It's like,
oh my goodness.
Not only did you like jump in the water, but then you shove the popcorn in your mouth first.
It's like, I gotta eat some.
And the all time
best thing
scene
ever.
DuckTales has ever created was Dewey and Webby feeding the ducks. And not only that, but Penny's face while they're feeding, just like her looking back and forth, like
those are but those are
you're
ducks.
A duck. You're a,
but they're feeding. They're you're, wearing clothes. And
you're
they're not.
Duck, you're feeding. You're like. Sure, give the example of what if there were tiny brainless humans walking around in the world and we just feed them, you know, like, oh, you're so cute, you know? How weird would that be? That was basically what they were doing.
Feeding themselves, just not smart versions of
themselves. Like, that's hilarious because I've always wondered because they've got, like, the seagulls and stuff in Duckburg, and so then I'm like, Are they like also characters can be seagulls too, you know?
I know.
And they just see a seagull there. Just randomly. So that was funny. And then they go to look through the little sightseer, like little telescope type things. And so Penny sees, I love how she sees like first the bin and then when, as she's, this is just a random observation, but as she's going from the bin looking over, she looks over at Glomgold or something. You see the seagull like sitting on a buoy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that seagull's always there. Like, always. Because there was in, I want to say it's the Great Dime Chase. There's a part where it switches from like an afternoon scene, you know, and switches to night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same scene what I'm talking about, but the bird's still there. I'm like, dang, that bird never leaves.
It's like a scarecrow or something on the buoy. To scare up, I don't know, something.
No, it's alive. It just never leaves. So, it's funny. And so then Penny, in that sightseeing thing, she goes and she sees the moon, you know? I'm like, she misses her home. That's sad.
Oh.
And so then they go roller skating. And I love how Penny's just like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, you know? And then, like, when did Dewey become such a good roller skater?
Since the internet.
Since the internet. And so then Webby's like, let go of the rail. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of. And then
she falls over.
Yeah, falls over the rail. And Launchpad, I didn't know you were coming out here, too.
In the water.
In the water.
It's like, oh, my gosh.
He's still in the water after he jumped in. Just like, oh, sorry about that.
Who put wheels on feet?
Like, I wonder who came up with that one. And so then Webby's like, I got one more idea. And so then Dewey, I like it whenever Dewey talks, but he's like, I don't want to help, but, and he's like, wait a second, is that Timmy Jenkins?
You see him?
I gotta get in line.
Oh my gosh.
So then Dewey races over to get in line.
Dewey's just a nerdy pig. Like, oh my gosh.
He said Dewey. You mean Timmy?
Did I say Dewey?
Dewey's just a nerdy pig.
A nerdy pig. Like,
no, I don't think so.
Timmy Jenkins is Timmy a nerdy Jenkins. Pig.
I didn't like Timmy Jenkins, but then I'm like, he's voiced by Ben Schwartz. You're like, that's, yeah, I like Timmy Jenkins. So then he goes in line. And so then Penny's like, okay, I've had enough of this. I want to go back to the hangar, which is, this is a get-edge. It's a get-edge.
And so then,
and then Webby's just like, you can't give up. And she's like, I'm not giving up. I learned I was right. The Moonlanders were wrong. And that Earth is the worst. And I'm ready to leave.
I love the way she talks.
Well, that's an stuff. Open-minded attitude.
And so then Webby does her. Well, she doesn't start the pep talk yet. But then she's like, I know change is hard. But like, but then Penny's like, I don't need to change. I'm perfect on the mighty planet Moon. And she was a fearless protector of her people. And she's like, and I can't do that here. Which, actually, we were leading along the lines of that in the prediction thing we did. Like, mm-hmm. when she was rescuing the kids, she looked happy, you know, like she was doing something.
Yeah.
And so her fear, it's sad. She had a fear of not being able, you know, to protect her people. Like, she's got nothing to do now.
Mm-hmm.
So she just wants to go back where she can do what she did.
Yeah, and Webby's so then, just like, is that what you're afraid of?
Like, yeah, and so then Penny's like, I fear nothing, yelling. And so then Webby's eyes, she can have a creepy stare or she could look so painfully sad. So yeah, and so then Pebby, mixture of Penny and Webby. I'm not gonna recover from that one. You go.
And then Penny.
Oh my gosh, I said it.
Really? Again, is it?
That was... Okay. Webby goes to another pep talk talking about how most of her life she was in the mansion. And you're like, most of your life? Like, when did you leave? You know? Stayed in the mansion and studied, and she was an expert on all things McDuck. But then she left and went into the world, and it was a big world, and she didn't fit in and didn't really know where to start. And so then she sometimes wished she could go back to the mansion, which you probably see in Day Trip of Doom randomly throughout other episodes. But then I love how she's like, she talks about the triplets, but then the guys, and then she's like, her family. I'm like, oh, they're all her like, family. Like, that's so my sweet.
Family. And you're like,
I love how much she's referring to everyone as her family.
Yeah, like in, oh, what was that episode called? Oh, The Phantom and the Sorceress.
Like, it just came out.
I know. That's why I couldn't remember the name. It just came out. So, in The Phantom and the Sorceress, when she's just like, my family is trapped. And you're like, oh,
your family. And so then she goes on to say that they showed her new and amazing and wonderful things, and she is still Mansion Webby, but also the World Explorer Webby and the Best Friend Webby. You're like, aw, Best Friend Webby. And so then going on to say Penny will always be the Moon Penumbra, but she could also be a pretty great Earth Penumbra. And then she orders Penny. She ordered Penny a hamburger. And so then I love
how that was
it.
The last thing that she had planned.
Yeah, like
she's
a hamburger.
Just like, I have one thing planned, then she orders it.
Yeah, like so cute. I love how Penny eats it, and then she's like, this is good. I mean, it's no cooked moon scorpion. You're just like,
can I possibly get another?
Yeah. I love how she's eating literally till then it's sunset and the sun's down. You're like,
this is actually a relief. I've been on a hunger strike since I got home. I got to Earth.
Yeah. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
It's actually a relief.
Like, how long has it been since the moon invasion?
Right?
Huh. And so then Webby's like, if you like that, like, you'll love this, and gives her a sundae. And then Penny, of course, loves it. I love it. She's like, it's so creamy. It's so sweet.
I've never had anything like this before.
And then she gets a brain freeze. And I love it. She's like, it's some kind of monster in my head stabbing little spears. And then
it's okay. It's just a brain freeze.
I love how she's like, it's freezing my brain.
You knew this would happen.
Which is hilarious because watching this, I was thinking, I haven't had a brain freeze in a while, actually. But then course, shouldn't have said that. I jinxed it. We went to Downtown Disney and I got a Jamba Juice, and I just happened to take like a super big gulp, and I got a brain freeze, and I was in so much pain, but I managed to quote. I said, it's some kind of monster in my head stabbing little spears, and then Sierra was like, it's just brain freeze. And I was like, and then I just, like, literally,
brain. You knew this would happen.
We quote it so much that I got a brain freeze and still quoted DuckTales, but it hurt.
I can't say that, or so I'm gonna get one too.
I know, don't jinx it. So then it goes over about 30 feet to the ribbon cutting ceremony featuring Timmy Jenkins.
Of course.
Ah, I love how
and Dewey Boo.
Like, dude. And so then the safety inspector shows up, and Hal Gibbous is like, I summoned the safety inspector. Ha 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 ha. And then Glom was like, you weren't actually supposed to get the safety inspector. And then
that's why I use like the quote mark, like sarcasm quote or something like whatever. That.
And then he's like, I thought it was an earth gesture for funny finger bunnies.
Can you see? You're like, oh my gosh.
Funny finger bunnies.
Never gonna see that the same.
You're staring at my hands now, like, I got funny finger bunnies. I never knew it.
Funny finger bunnies.
So then the inspector's like, this ride is a hazard and we'll have to take a closer inspection. And so then Glomkel sees Penny in the distance suffering from a brain freeze. And so then Glomkel turns the safety of the wheel against Penny, saying she was mad he defeated the moon and sabotaged the ride for revenge. No, so then
one of the people was just like, moon menace.
Yeah, which is funny. I was totally joking when I said Penny was the moonlander menace. I'm like, never mind, she really was the moonlander menace. I mean, unless another one comes.
Yeah. And then they come after her and she's like, I can't fight in my weakened state.
Oh my goodness. And so then Webby and Penny, their names are too similar. I keep almost saying Webby and Lena.
No.
That's why he keeps stopping. I'm like, Webby and Penny go running through, and they run past Launchpad. And so then Launchpad, you know, he just stares at them and, like, goes to walk in the other direction but knocks out all the health inspectors. Like, thanks for the rescue. And so then Penny and Webby hide behind a thing of balloons and then go and hide in a dark corner. And so I feel bad for Penny because she thinks Webby used the ice cream, you know, just to mock her, you know, to think like, oh, this is great. But then it's like, just, you know.
You knew this would happen.
You knew this would happen. It's like, oh, that's so sad.
Webby's like, no, I didn't.
And so then Penny's like, when we get out of here, I'm going back to the moon alone. Like, what are you going to protect there on the moon alone? So then they keep running, and I love how they run into the crowd, and you just see Dewey gets knocked to the front of the line, and then Dewey's like, first in line, eat your heart out, Timmy Jenkins. It's like, all the stuff he says. And so then they end up running to a glomdala. And so Glomgold tells Gibbous to start it, but before Penny can get in, the doors close. So then it's just Webby and Dewey. So then Glomgold goes and gives his speech about giving the gift of life to Duckburg, and so now he's going to give them an even better gift.
A world without that Scrooge McDuck.
Like, so he was at the mansion. Like, what if he wasn't at the mansion, you know? Well, I guess Della was there and Louie. The Flint Ferris War Wheel! I love how, like, the little banner thing that just falls down. Got impeccable timing. And so then he's going to shoot a cannonball out. And so then the safety inspector's like, it can't support that amount of pressure and stuff. So it's going to fall to bits before the cannon even fires. And so then Penny is like, the small Della. Like, oh no, the small Della's, you know. And so then I love how Dewey's just like, oh, this is my big moment. Oh, wait. And it, like, shoots down to the ground level of them interviewing Timmy Jenkins. It's like, oh, Timmy, over here, Timmy, and stuff. And then Dewey, no. Oh. Poor Dewey.
Then he bangs his hand. It causes the wheel to break.
Yeah. Like, nice job. And so then Glomgold tells Gibbous to stop Penny from saving them. And I love how Gibbous is like, very well, sir, but this has ceased to be fun. Like, yeah, right? I like how all he goes for is fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so then Penny is about to go fight through, break through all the safety inspectors and stuff, or whatever, the cops. I don't know if they showed up or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Launchpad tells
Penny, like, go and save the kids. Like, I'm going to stop these guys. And so he goes, of course, launch pad, trips over roller skates. Roller skate. A roller skate. You ever heard of those?
Never.
You're like, nope, me neither. And so he trips, but then he falls on Glom Gold. So basically stopping Glom Gold. And so then I love how Penny tells Gibbous, like, I need you to help me have some earth fun. And Gibbous is like, sure, you know, like, I'm on your side now. And so then they use the mirror as the skate ramp. And I love, like, the epic music playing and, like, the awesome scene of, like, web.
The silhouette.
Why do I keep calling her Webby and Webby Penny?
Just call her Penumbra.
Penumbra.
No,
silhouette in front of the moon. And so then she falls onto the Glom wheel, keeps climbing to the top. And I love how Dewey, like, when she first opens the thing, he's, like, sitting there head in hands. Like, he looks so distraught. You know, just like, Timmy stole my spotlight.
Like, oh,
Jimmy Jenkins! And so then I love how Webby's like, sorry, Penny, like, I didn't think this would happen. I meant, you know, to have some earth fun. And then Penny's like, I'm having a barrel of monkeys. And then Webby's eyes yet again can show creepy stares, complete sadness, and so much joy. I love how Dewey and Webby both are like, really?
Mm-hmm. Like, you're so much puny. Oh my gosh, I can't talk. Punier than the Moonlanders, and the beasts on the moon were never this big.
Like, this is my kind of earth fun. Take that, palace.
So forget your party.
And so then I love when they go to climb out, how Dewey's like, wait, hold me so the cameras can see my terrified face. And so then, like, he's totally faking those screams and stuff, you know? Because, I mean, if there was no news reporters there, he'd just be like, whatever, you know, normal day. So they jump down as the Glom wheel comes crashing down. And the cannon shoots as the wheel is sinking. And, of course, hits Flinty in the foot. Curse you, me, Ferris me wheel. And then he gets all the safety violation fines and bills. For damage to the pier, and a thank you letter from Timmy Jenkins.
Love how you see it on top. It just says TY.
Yeah, it's just like, he's like, enough said, you know?
You're right.
You're like, why did Timmy Jenkins write him a thank you letter? Like, just to say thank you, or what is he part of the plot?
Woo!
Getting too into that. And then I like how the inspector just, like, tips your hat to give us, you know? Just like, you weren't a part of this. You're off the hook.
Thanks for calling us.
And then give us, don't worry, sir, your next giant wheel cannon will surely be a success. Oh, sweet Gibbous, I can't even stay mad at you. I like it when Scrooge says it more, but when they say cannot, they're like, canny. I like it better when Scrooge says it.
It's but funny, in, not Register,
what is it called?
Describe the episode.
When it's,
when it's
Flint, Glom Gold gets all the villains to come together.
Glom Tales.
Glom Tales, thank you. when Mob Eagle is like, that took way too long. Like, yeah. But Mob Eagle is just like, this is about the bet. And he's like, I can't eat best. Like, he says it a few times. Like, oh my god.
That took way too long to explain.
Yeah. It's funny. So then Launchpad finally talks to Penny about, you know, wanting to be mortal enemies. She's like, we're not enemies. Like, where the heck did you get that idea? And it's like, you'd be a formidable ally on the battlefield, you know? And I love it. She's like, I'm fascinated by your earth fighting techniques. You're like,
not even
he that. Can teach you how to fall over a roller skate, you know, how to tip on him. And all of the news reporters, though, are Timmy, you're so brave and stuff. And then they walk away. No, it's Dewey's disaster day. Dewey! And here, let me, I just gotta get it real fast. Hold up. Let's find this. Ah, here we go.
Better luck next time, Dewey.
I mean,
Dewey!
Listen.
Better luck next time, Dewey.
That's like
Ben
that
Schwartz.
Totally Ben Schwartz. He's the enemy of himself. his arch enemy is himself.
We find out Doofus is voiced by
That's Louis. Hilarious. Oh my gosh. I mean, at some points it sounds like him, but I don't think he's voiced by him. That'd be crazy. But then Timmy Jenkins' whole thing is like winking, you know? Like, no. He like just winks at him, and then in the newspaper pictures and stuff, he's always winking. And then Dewey Jenkins! Like the long stretched out just total Dewey. And then the Glom Whale sinks into the ocean. And then it goes back to Morning Joe's, the coffee shop, with Gibbous telling the story of how Penny saved the kids before the wheel fell into the bay. And now whenever they say bay, I picture, that's technically a bay. I'm not stupid! I'm double O duck.
I just lurched him into that pond over there.
Get it?
Yeah.
It's a pond. It's technically a bay. Okay. And then I love how after the story, Della's just like, in hindsight, I totally shouldn't have let you kids do that. It could have been a disaster. Just like...
It's like Dewey literally asked you if you could ride a death wheel at the pier.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Could have been a disaster. Shouldn't have let you guys do that. And then Dewey, I wish, as he's on his phone watching the news of Timmy Jenkins, the local boy who almost rides the ride.
I know. Poor Dewey, though.
And then I love how, as Timmy, like, sits there, he does another wink, and then Dewey's like, Jenkins! And then, like, does this, like, calm down breath, you know, just, like, breathing in, you know?
And then Della just pats his
head. Yeah, I love Della, you're so sweet. Like, such a sweet mom, you know, just, like, patting him on the head, like, it's gonna be okay. And then Webby's, like, asks Penny, like, is this mean you're gonna stay, you know? And then Penny's, like, till the Earthers can learn to take care of themselves, which is probably never so, but they're interrupted by a limousine crashing. So,
I wonder
and he's gonna
who that
stay.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's that? And then, so then Penny and Launchpad are going to tear down her ship. And then I love how she's like, Launchpad, like, surprisingly knows a lot about dismantling aircraft or whatever.
And I was like, that is true.
That is true. And so then Penny's like, Della, I need your assistant. Does she? Oh, yeah, she picks up Della, huh?
Yeah.
Della, I need your assistant. Assistance. And I love how she calls her her best friend. You're like, ah, finally. You know? And then, oh, she might have called her that before. And no, I don't think she has. And so then I love how Dewey's still like, he's still sitting in the chair in the background the whole time, you know, he's just looking down, like, so sad at his phone. And then she just picks him up, and he doesn't change his face. You're like, poor guy. Come, Ludella. And so then Gibbous and Zenith are like, well, we see you at Palace's next week. And then Benny's like, sure, it's gonna be a monkey barrel. Della's just like,
A what?
And so then they drive off to the mansion. And they zoom up to the moon, and I love how you can see
Lunaris's
ship in orbit still, so he's still stuck out there, you know, as Earth's newest moon.
Almost makes you feel bad for the guy.
Not really. So then they see Lunaris's ship. I was like, that was a good way to close it. He's still out there.
And that is the end of the episode.
Yeah. I loved this episode. It was so good. And so, now to our after review section of I recommend watching the promo again before we go over all this and stuff. And so in the new promo, we'll start out with the Halloween, the Trickening coming out in 3 days, which, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see this episode because there's so many different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I just want to know what order everything takes place in, you know? And finally get it out. Figure it out. Because there were some scenes in the promo. I don't know how to talk. In the promo where you see Huey's in the mansion. And he looks terrified at things. So I don't know if like the episode starts out with them pranking Huey for some reason.
I know.
Or whatever. Because then you see there's one scene when Webby's head popped off. Obviously that was a fake Webby.
Obviously.
And then you see him again backed up to a corner of what looks like right outside the triplet's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
He's like backed out. So I don't know if they're like pranking him or whatever. And there's more scenes of the Halloween episode. It looks like Donald, Della, and Launchpad are up to something. I don't know. I mean, Launchpad's supposed to be, you know, dealing with ghosts from the past or from his past.
I just love how Donald has his bucket of candy.
Does he really?
Yes.
Oh, he's passing out candy to the kids.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Eating a bucket of candy. Never know.
Like, we went trick-or-treating, I got candy. I don't know.
That would be so cute.
But the fact that he's the angel and that was a little devil. Like,
and then Launchpad, you know, I don't know what they're planning. I mean, we'll see. But then there's this, what looks to be like a Scrooge dressed up as a skeleton and top hat. I don't know if that's Scrooge in a costume.
That'd be great.
Or what? And then there's another scene. I don't even know if this might be from a different episode. It might be Let's Get Dangerous, but I don't even know what to make of this, but there's one scene of, like, it almost looks like a statue drowning in a lake or river or whatever. It looks like Duckworth, kind of. Or it could be some other random dog, you know? So I don't know what to make of that.
In the movie, they found Duckworth's body.
Oh my gosh! That's creepy.
Certainly.
So yeah, looking forward to this episode. It's gonna be good. And then there was also past week released what the theme song's going to be for that episode.
Oh,
which
yes.
Is a spooky theme, a spooky DuckTales theme, which I love because I loved how they did in Last Christmas.
I love the Christmas version.
Life is like a candy cane. Like, just so good. And then, like, just the way it went, it was like, oh, I love this little jingle, you know? I love that episode.
That is a really good episode.
Dewey goes and sees Della and Donald. Some weird emo kid.
Tell me what to do.
So, Bowie on you. And actually, in that episode, there was Scrooge mentioned, you know, Ragnarok and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jormungandr. I totally forgot his name. I almost called him Rumble because it was Rumble for Ragnar. Like, going through the list, you know, talking to Dewey, like, I've got so many things I gotta deal with, you know, throughout the year, like this and this and
my family, my business,
keeping the whatever world-eating Jormungandr monster snake or something at bay.
Jormungandr at bay or something like that.
Yeah. So he mentions Jormungandr in that episode. And so now the episode, I can't wait for an hour. I gotta keep saying it.
So
an
good.
Hour, an hour, an hour of DuckTales. How many weeks? That's 3 weeks, I wanna say.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for 3 weeks. Oh, I don't know. I'm not gonna do the math. It's late. Darkwing gains an unlikely sidekick as he uncovers a dark conspiracy tied to the missing mysteries and one of Scrooge's employees. So, like we said before, the most normal, like, choice, what the most ideal sidekick would be Goslin,
mm-hmm.
possibly Launchpad, unless he gains, like, a literal unlikely sidekick. You know? It's like, who the heck is that? And, yep, Darkwing going on an adventure. And in the promo, we saw scenes of Darkwing and stuff. And what looked to be a DW villain and stuff. We'll get into that in a minute. But I love how, I mean, we started this podcast after Dark Knight Returns came out. But mm-hmm. I wish we could have, like, we'll have to do a review on that episode sometime. Because yeah. I love that episode. But I love how Drake Mallard is the new Darkwing, you know, in that episode, and that's mm-hmm. the actual Darkwing's, his secret identity was Drake Mallard.
Yeah.
Not Jim Starling. And then Negaduck was revealed in the end of that episode, you know, like,
mm-hmm. I smell like a new, like a reboot of Darkwing, you know, in the future, yeah. You know?
You smell it?
That'll be cool if they rebooted Darkwing Duck. Get some Negaduck in there.
That'd be cool.
And so then from the Darkwing, what looks to be the Darkwing Duck scenes in the promo was you saw the Darkwing Duck villain Bushroot in one scene. Because he's got, you know, the dark green feathers, vines for arms, ivy leaves for hands, and a shaggy magenta foliage of hair.
Like, yeah, that might represent him just a little bit, you know?
Might be Bushroot. And Bushroot was a botanist that was employed at the St. Canard University. And he shared a lab space with, I love how they use this in DuckTales too, with his colleague Rhododendron, which was in Louis 11. Which was the name of the flower, which is funny because they're botanists, you know?
Yeah.
And so, Emma Gilmore is like, are those rhododendrons? So it's funny. And then he also shared a lab with Larson and Gary, who would always bully him and stuff. I've seen that episode, actually. Mm-hmm. And so then, Bushroot, he was developing a method to try to make animals. It's funny because animals, and you realize, like, oh, wait, they're not humans, they're animals. A way to be able to photosynthesize, which would solve world hunger, which also reminds me of Launchpad in 00 Duck when he's like, so many things I have to do before he's blasted back to dumb. Like, stop the evil's conspiracy, you have to get your family, end world hunger, you know? So he's trying to, as like a Darkwing reference type thing. But then the university showed no interest in his project because there was no profit in photosynthesis of animals.
Even though it would solve world hunger.
Yeah, but then no one would buy food. So as the funding for his experiments was about to be cut, and so to prove that his experiments were correct, Bushroot performed the experiment on himself and was permanently transformed into a half-duck, half-plant creature. Yep.
Interesting.
So he looks to be in, it makes a lot of sense, you know, a Darkwing villain to be in Let's Get Dangerous.
Yeah.
And so then he basically, I feel bad for the guy. All he wants is like a companion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He made several attempts on that. And he is a member of the Fearsome Five, which, I mean, we haven't really seen like any other dark, DuckTales villains, only like in Beware the But. What did I say?
You said DuckTales.
Did I?
Yeah.
Darkwing and DuckTales are so like similar in the name. Darkwing villains, I mean, in Beware the Buddy System, you know, Dewey was watching his show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what Darkwing Duck would look like if it was rebooted.
Keep rolling.
We saw, like Megavolt, Quackerjack, and the Liquidator. You know, on the TV. And so, not much of them, you know. And of course, Darkwing. And so then, I mean, they may turn up, you know, as other villains in this episode or in future episodes. Or a Darkwing Duck reboot. Moment of silence to ponder that. And so then, Bushroot, he has the ability to control all forms of plants, which would explain why in some scenes that you see there's vines and stuff everywhere. I don't know in the one scene that he had where exactly he is. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if that's like a part of the bin or a part of Scrooge's garage or what. It looks a little too big to be the garage. But the thing that got my attention the most was, you see, what looks, I'm going to call him Bushroot, because I'm pretty darn positive that that's him. But then you see Huey, Dewey, and Louie running away from, I'm guessing, assuming to be Bushroot, you know? Along with Bradford Buzzards running away, too. So I was like, a foul episode! Like, I'm hoping this, you know, it's an hour long. What if it's like an hour long of conspiracy and stuff? Because
that would be incredible.
I mean, Darkwing's, he uncovers a dark conspiracy tied to the missing mysteries, which I've been
waiting to see, you know, Fowl's going after the McDuck family, you know, trying to stop Scrooge and stuff. But, like, the missing mysteries, like, what exactly did that have to do with it? Because I know they got the third eye diamond, you know, to make Scrooge. Well,
to make him
Black Karen was going to make him stupid, but then Bradford seemed to be against that. You know, he wants to control the world.
Not this
going to see. Ew. Why was this wet?
Just every time I see a Rubik's Cube, I think of that quote.
I know. It's like, I almost don't want to touch it.
He's like, is it going to be wet?
What was I on? Oh, yeah. So I'm hoping it's going to, you know, uncover the conspiracy and exactly what their intention is.
And one of Scrooge's employees. As we said, the most sincere. Like, just zooming in on Gizmo Duck.
I love Gizmo Duck.
Yeah. We've been waiting for a Gizmo Duck episode in season 3.
I'm so happy.
One with him in. Well, I mean, he already had one with Astro Boy.
Yeah.
But another one.
And he's in an hour long one.
Yeah, he's wrapped up. Gizmo Duck is wrapped up by vines and stuff. So I'm like, looks like Busher. Unless, you know, another Scrooge mission, like, thing gone wrong. Because he's had, you know, crazy. What episode was that, Sierra? With Scrooge, when he had all the vines and stuff in the city.
It was a town where everyone was nice.
No.
I mean, that had a lot of vines.
No, when Scrooge caused a vine thing in Duckburg. What episode? You remember? It was like an overgrowth of vine because they just got back from, like, solving a mystery, and then Scrooge, the town was overrun by vines, and then Scrooge is like, I'm gonna pay for it, you know? Oh, wait, was it Jaws? No. Yes. It wasn't Jaws.
Was it, did it have to do with,
anyway, we'll figure it out.
I don't know. Did it have to do with,
Now I'm going crazy. We've been thinking about this for a minute. We gotta move on. Okay, so yeah, we got so far from what I'm assuming to be the Darkwing, what we're assuming to be the Darkwing episode, we got triplets, we got Bradford, we've got Gizmo Duck, and we've got Busher. So
that's all you need.
Yeah, and there was a couple other, like, interesting, weird scenes in that promo, like, I don't know if I missed out on something, but there's, like, this flamingo. A flamingo? I don't know if this is, what, the Florida episode? I'm just coming up with random. Is this the Florida episode? I don't know. You know, DuckTales is so interesting and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it also, there was another scene and you see Webby. What looks to be the same trees when she's, like, just running in a forest type thing, and it looks like the same trees as the ones that Scrooge and Goldie were in for the Florida episode, Forbidden Fountain. So I don't know if Webby's gonna be in that episode too, like, not at the resort or what. I don't know. I cannot wait to see Scrooge as a teenager.
Yes,
and Goldie so as a teenager. Excited.
More Goldie,
like. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I cannot wait. And to finish finding, there's one more missing mystery that needs to be found. Well, two more. I say one more because, you know, Forbidden Fountain, they're talking about the Fountain Youth. But that's yet to be found. Who knows if they'll even find it in that episode. So I shouldn't have assumed that. So yeah, technically two more. The Stone of What Was and the Fountain of Youth. So Stone of What Was, what takes you to the past? And I'm pretty sure, didn't Goldie find the Fountain of Youth? Yeah. So, maybe that's why Scrooge, you know, needed her help to try to get to the Fountain of Youth because he was looking for it. As was it a part of Lena looking for the missing mysteries? Like, let's now we're going on. We found Mirvana. We're going to go to the Fountain of Youth now. And also, I'm wondering where they're going to show interest in the Third Eye Diamond, you know, because the McDuck family doesn't know it's been found, you know? Even though Fowl has found it. So, yeah, and will Launchpad, like, suddenly, like, wait, I remember there's a conspiracy against your family, you know?
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Just like, come on, Launchpad. Just remember who you are.
The Lion King. The Lion King Mufasa moment there.
Okay. And Daisy Duck. Come on, Daisy.
Oh, yes.
Where'd you even go? I feel like there was something else I had to mention. I do this at the end of every episode. Like, I'm missing something. I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway, we will be... Oh, I can't wait for Monday. The trickening.
I'm so excited for that episode.
Yeah, we'll be putting together, obviously, another review and stuff. Hopefully by then we'll have more info on the other episodes coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I want a promo of Forbidden Fountain.
Yes.
So bad.
But at the same time, I want to be completely surprised.
Maybe we should look for a promo real fast of the trickening. Just to make sure we don't... You've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
That... Oh, here you see an interview with the DuckTales cast. Season 3 promo. Let's see if anything comes up because we always talk about it. What the... Oh, wait, no. That's just another... I was like, I thought that was a new promo. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Nope, I don't see anything else. So yeah.
Wait, go down.
What?
Where was that?
That wasn't a promo.
I know.
Hold on, we're recording still. We gotta get back to recording.
Like, oh yeah.
I forgot about that. Okay, anyway, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love this episode. Dewey.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, Dewey. Cracks me up. We need a Louie episode coming up.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm excited for, like, another Huey episode.
Mm-hmm. Because we got Astro Boy, but he's been... Yeah, Astro Boy. Yeah. The Huey episode. That was, like, three episodes ago.
Challenge of the Senior Junior, which are...
Yeah.
So those have been, like, the big Huey
episodes. Come on, it's Huey's time to shine, guys.
Huey's time to shine.
Which, he was supposed to, you know, be the one also involved in uncovering the conspiracy against Fowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how he plays into Let's Get Dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing was there was also in the promo other sneak peeks and stuff, not other little things and stuff. And it was, you see Scrooge testing out the bin's security on Della and Louie.
On Della and Louie.
Ah, that was so funny. Let's see. I'm just making sure I didn't miss anything. Oh, that Dewey with the eyeball and stuff. I'm like, when does that play into?
It looks like,
we'll see.
It looks like the Dewey thing from Dewey High. This is Dewey, dude.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah, Halloween episode's gonna be creepy. But fun. Huey's little costume. Okay.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
So, yeah, we'll see how Huey plays a part in uncovering the secrets of Fowl. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be probably recording in the next couple days, actually, because the episode's coming out in a couple days. So, we will talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.